got an email from the Atlantic Coast Conference about 15 minutes or so ago. ACC concludes the 2022 spring meetings. They were in Amelia Island, Florida. And the commissioner of the ACC had this block quote: "We continue to have tremendous dialogue among our membership regarding the state of college athletics and the challenges we're collectively facing. Our responsibility remains with the nearly 10,000 amazing student athletes that we are proud to represent. We had the opportunity to hear from some of our student athletes at these meetings, and their ongoing feedback is central to the evolution of college athletics." A lot of this has to do with name, image, and likeness. Topics discussed at the meetings included, but were not limited to, ACC football scheduling models. We understand that. ACC women's and men's basketball. Not quite sure what that was related to, but okay. Federal legislation. I guess that's for name, image, and likeness. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Yeah, got that. Transfer portal. Transformation committee. Future of college sports. Very, very vague. ACC network. All right. ACC Big Ten and Pac-12 Alliance review and assessment of our conference office and location, which, of course, at this point, I'm kind of surprised they still don't have an announcement on that, and a variety of other policies as well. The two main talking points that have come out of the ACC meetings, if I can just kind of get through the corporate mumbo-jumbo of what happened, the big nothing burger that the email represents, there's two main things that were discussed. However, they are intertwined. The first one was the football scheduling model, which we spent a considerable amount of time talking about this week. Giulio, you had this idea for a schedule back in 2014. You talked to John Swofford, the former commissioner, about this. And at the time, things were not going in that direction. But all sorts of circumstances have happened, the pandemic being the biggest one, that 2020 season that included Notre Dame with divisionless football. And it looks like we are headed in the direction of scrapping divisions, going with a three permanent partner, 5-5 rotation. That way, everybody sees each other home and home, you know, over what, a four-year span or whatever it is?
Yes.
Okay.
I have some news for you on that front.
Well, what's interesting is, after it looked like, yeah, all this momentum, not so fast, my friend. There were some coaches, anonymously, that were, I guess, speaking out saying, well, we want to get all the, we don't want to do anything rash. We got to make sure that we do all these things right. I thought that was kind of interesting. My guess is that probably came from coastal people, but I'm just speculating on that end. But what have you, what's your update on this?
So, yeah, don't worry about the
I figured
one
so
or two coaches. This is out of the barn now. And this all goes back to the conversation we actually had with Jim Phillips in Brooklyn about what they can do to improve their own financial standing. Making their football product, and the football product has always been the answer. So this is one of those steps towards that.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can tell and from what I've discerned from my own sources, the Big Four will not be together.
Okay.
They will not. So anyone holding out hope for the three, I don't use the word permanent because it doesn't have to be permanent. I don't know why people keep saying permanent.
Mm-hmm.
You can set up a model, run it for a few years, and then, oh my God, it's your model. You can change it.
Yeah, people get caught up in the permanent thing. You're right.
So that's number one. But I've been told it will not be the Big Four together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the flies in the ointment, as I predicted, as it was back in 2014, Carolina and Virginia feel some kind of way about that series that's been going on for it's the longest running series.
Yes.
In the ACC, maybe. I think they even claim the South.
They do claim the South, yes.
It's one of those things that will end up being protected, which means you won't have the Big Four together, which I never thought the Big Four would be together.
No.
Based on some of the older, it has to be the old ACC. It can't be the old ACC and the new ACC. We don't want it separated that way. I think a lot of that sentiment is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of it really is truly trying to figure out the best television, how they can enhance their own football dollar. But best I can tell, it's not going to be straight up just the Big Four. And that, you know what, though? That's fine. Because in this model, Duke and State, for example, who played in 2013 and then not again until 20, would play in back-to-back years every 4 years.
Yeah.
So every 3 years, excuse me.
It'll be fine.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
Yes.
And I think
And that's for everyone, keep in mind. It's not just I'm just using State and Duke as an example.
And you just referenced the reason why I think ultimately it'll be fine and everybody will get over it. Because right now the ACC's biggest problem is they're lagging behind in product. In the product and what they're getting paid for said product. The product as it currently stands, is kind of making what it needs to be making. You know, it's not the SEC product. It's not the Big Ten product. Totally understand that for a variety of reasons. Football might not be as good, number one. Number two, the kinds of institutions that are part of the ACC limit the amount of people that are probably going to watch the games anyway. When we talk about the SEC and we talk about the Big Ten, we're talking about big, old universities with large alumni base.
Huge alumni base.
Whereas the ACC is made up of a lot of private schools. It's just a makeup of it. And I've always argued somebody's got to be third, okay? And there's nothing wrong with being third. You carve out your niche. There's nothing wrong with being third, man. There's not.
There's something wrong with being lapped, but it's okay to be third.
It's also important to note,
it's important not to be both.
It's also important to note, too, that money doesn't always buy you everything.
No, it doesn't.
So while the conferences get all wrapped up in who makes what money, what do you do with the money? What are they doing with the money? Oh, better facilities, fountains, you know,
right.
Soft serve ice cream and massage chairs and sleep pods and stuff like that. But with all the money in the world, you can still throw bad money at coaches that aren't going to work out. Okay? So,
we'll see what happens with Miami, who has this super benefactor, Phil Knight
they
style.
They do, but you still got to make the right hires.
And maybe they did.
And here's the other thing about the SEC, too.
But can we be honest, though, about the ACC?
Yeah.
Like, if Miami would get their head out of their ass.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, Florida State, you know. If the television package didn't hinge on, oh my God, who does Clemson play this week? You know,
it would be much better.
It would be 1,000 times better. But
yeah, we've talked about this. That's one of those that brought it up earlier in the week. We can get the right model, but the model ain't going to be worth anything if the teams that matter aren't playing good football.
And the highest rated game in the last 20 years was Clemson Notre Dame regular season during the pandemic.
What I find funny is we act as though the SEC is going to be this juggernaut forever because of all the money that's coming through. Can we just be honest about what the SEC is right now? It's Nick Saban. What is the SEC going to look like? What's the SEC going to look like when Nick Saban finally calls it a career? Because, you know, Alabama always is guaranteed the right coach, right?
Right.
There's only one school that perpetually gets the right coach. Seems to be Ohio State. They rarely whiff. Everybody else, look at Texas. Texas is a prime example of a team with all the money that they could possibly want to do anything they want, yet they can't get out of their own damn way, and now they're going to the SEC where the stakes are even higher.
But isn't that a little bit like betting against... Now, there are years in Major League Baseball where the Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees, Mets don't win.
The Yankees are a prime example of not investing in the right people, chasing free agents that are on the tail ends of their career, those types of things.
Yeah.
There's any number of reasons why they haven't worked out.
But
the money puts you in a position where you're always going to be competitive. There's also the other angle of being disruptive or finding the right hires yourself. You can be successful for your own niche.
I know, but that's quite a needle in college sports to thread.
Well,
if you're chasing, if the chasm is such, you better go find Billy Beane, Theo Epstein, and everybody else and their mother.
I always
and be the guy who doesn't punt or punts on every down or kicks a field goal on every down or fakes a field goal on every down because.
Hey, look,
they're drowning. I get your point about Saban.
The other thing, too, is I like to point out that you know who was making the most amount of money in the conferences? You know, the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten. You know who was making the most amount of money at one point in time while the SEC was coming up? The ACC. The ACC used to make more money than the SEC. A lot of that was a byproduct of basketball and the units that were being...
Oh, before the Big Ten Network.
Before the Big Ten Network.
Because the Big Ten still is...
Yes.
The leader.
And the SEC, was coming up and starting to win those BCS championships while the ACC was still making the most money and doling out the most per school. I mean, heck, the reason why the Big East broke up is because the ACC was the right financial model. So you can still find ways to win. You can still find ways to have successful programs while the SEC is throwing bad money after bad. That is a thing that can happen.
If they're doing that, though. I mean, Georgia just won. LSU has a title recently.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what Texas A&M, you know, all the investments that they've made.
Put a whole bunch of investments behind Jimbo Fisher. What are we seeing?
But they also have the best coaches right now, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they can pay for those. They can pay for those coaches.
And that's where the money comes in.
But I still think that things are going to get disrupted when Nick Saban finally calls it a career. Nick Saban's propped Nick Saban's propped up a whole lot of bunch of stuff in that conference in the same way that Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams were propping up a whole bunch of problems for basketball in the ACC. I know that's not a popular thing to say. That might sound like hateration, but to me, that's what I see. Let's have this conversation when Alabama can't follow up Nick Saban. All right? So, Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, talked about scheduling and scheduling being a way to kind of close the gap and create a better television product from the ACC meetings. This was on with Packer and Durham, which you can listen to on The Buzz.
I asked everyone 16 months ago to be patient with the new commissioner because he would ask why we did certain things.
Yeah.
And not in a judgmental way, just more from an educational standpoint. And I think things like scheduling, football scheduling in this particular instance, should be reflected on. And where we've gone in the past maybe is where we go in the future, or maybe we take a turn. And so listening over the last 12 months or so, I could feel that, you know, we weren't getting to different places. Schools weren't getting up north from down south and vice versa. And that leads to some really nice rivalries, et cetera, because you play similar teams year in, year out. But then as we started to kind of go through it and objectively look at it, it started to kind of get some momentum. And in the end, I think there's some really good possibilities with this new potential model, and we'll do what the membership wants. So I want to listen to the coaches, and ultimately the ADs will decide. And I've tried to lead them objectively in some of these discussions. But a chance for our student athletes to play every school within a four-year period, kind of cool, right?
Yep.
A chance to create some new rivalries, a chance to create maybe some newer marquee games, some programs that maybe when we started the current schedule weren't as competitive as they are now. So I think the discussion's been really healthy. I think there's movement to go in that direction. We do want to talk to our TV partners. I don't know if you'll ever please everybody in a room of 14. I know that coming from a family of 10, right? That just was impossible. Eventually, mom and dad, made the decision. So it's really, I think, important for us to continue to look at ways creatively that may make some sense, that is also good for the fans.
That's Jim Phillips, commissioner of the ACC, on with Packer and Durham on the ACC Network. You're grinning over there.
I'm going to need you to prevent me from becoming Ted Kaczynski.
In terms of?
Like,
don't be the Unabomber, please.
Yeah, just don't be mad. Like, don't go move to the woods and be mad that this idea that you had 8 years ago and that was dismissed by everyone other than Debbie Yao in the triangle and even the commissioner.
Yeah.
And now the new guy comes in and is like, this scheduling model is brilliant. You get to play everybody in 4 years. Whoever would have come up with this? His name is Joe Giglio. That's who came up with it.
Oh, my God.